place with good reviews called Frontier Restaurant. It says they have the best breakfast burritos in the world, she reported.
That's a statement no wizard can take lightly.
Using the GPS on the phone, they found the restaurant. It was located across the street from the University of New Mexico, a large school consisting of adobe buildings and tall cottonwoods. Rin parked on a small neighborhood street 2 blocks behind the establishment. You coming in, Clark? The boy asked his bird. Yes, and you're ordering me something with texture. Maybe some hash browns. Ozzie put Clark in his hoodie pocket along with the orange cassette tape. The restaurant was filled with all sorts of interesting and diverse-looking people, so Rin and his wizard garb fit right in. They ordered breakfast burritos and pancakes. Then they found a table by the far wall and waited for their names to be called. So are you going to show Charles the tape or not? Siggy asked. I mean, is there any harm in him hearing it? Maybe he just doesn't trust us now, but when he finally hears it, he'll really open up.
Perhaps, Rin said.
Clark shifted and stuck his beak out of the hoodie pocket so as to feel less confined. I just don't see where we go from here if this doesn't give us any answers, Ozzie said. I'll have to go home and hide out in the cloaked house for the rest of my life.
That is, if the sheriff hasn't found your home by now. He's looking for us, and his efforts will be more aggressive than in the past. Ed found it. He could have easily blabbed. But then again, Sheriff Wills is pretty inept. I doubt he'd hike more than 2 miles for anything.
What about you, Rin? What are you going to do?
Technically, I haven't done anything wrong, but Patty's not going to be happy about me taking Siggy on this trip. So if Corfelt doesn't take me back, maybe I'll finally move to Portland. Heaven knows they could use a wizard.
Ozzie heard Clark sigh and then spoke. If this is a dead end, then I don't know where to look for my parents next.
You know, it's possible they can't be found, Rin said seriously. I hate to bring that up, but there are things hope and magic cannot do. We may wish for things to be one way, but there are billions of conflicting wishes that may want it another.
I know! I know my parents are probably dead, Ozzie said defiantly. I'm not stupid. They loved me, and I can't believe they would ever stop trying to find their child that was left behind, unless they just couldn't.
Wizard!
A man called out from the front counter.
That's us, Rin said needlessly.
They got their food and returned to the table. The conversation they had been having was heavy and reason for quiet introspection, but the food was too good to keep any of them quiet.
There must be a sorcerer in that kitchen, Rin said. I can taste the alchemy.
What's that green stuff in the eggs?
Green chili?
Siggy said. I think it's my new favorite thing. After stuffing the burritos down their throats and every last bit of pancakes into their mouths, Ozzie left a good tip, and they walked slowly back to the car. Clark took his place on Ozzie's head. I think that might have been the tastiest thing I've ever eaten, Ozzie confessed.
It's in the running, Rin said. Corfelt has some pretty spectacular food.
Really? Like what?
They have this berry called the loom.
It can be both sweet and savory. Prepared by the right hands, it's incredible.
So, do you believe in Corfelt? Clark asked Siggy. No, but if it helps my dad to travel there occasionally, I'm okay with that.
Believing is different for everyone, Rin said.
Clark tweeted from the top of Ozzie's head. I think we have a problem. Did any of you guys leave the car doors open? Because they are. Ozzie ran to where the white car was parked. Both doors were wide open, and all of their belongings were spread out on the road. What happened? Siggy asked, looking around. The inside of the vehicle had been thoroughly picked through. The glove compartment was empty, the floor mats had been flipped over, and the back hatch had been popped open. "I don't see anything missing," Clark said as he hopped to the ground and took inventory of all their stuff lying there.
"They were looking for something specific,"
Rin said.
"Where's the tape?"
Ozzy reached into his pocket. It was still there.
"I have it,"
he said quietly without taking it out.
"Why would someone somewhere you've never been want an old tape?"
the bird questioned. Ozzy looked down at Clark.
"Oh, you think Charles did this?"
"Or he had someone do it for him,"
Rin suggested.
"But how did they know where we were?" Siggy asked.
"There was a car following us," Clark said. "I was going to say something, but the sunlight in the back window was intoxicating. I got a little drunk on glow."
"It doesn't matter now," the wizard spoke. "What has happened. Now we must gather the mess and get away from here. If they followed us this far, I'm sure they still have an eye on us."
All four looked around nervously.
"Use your wand," Clark suggested. "Levitate all of our stuff back into the car."
Having no faith in Rin's wand, Ozzy and Siggy bent over and scooped up the things that had been pulled from the car. Rin got into the driver's seat and started the vehicle.
"Let's go!"
Ozzy and Siggy got in.
"Where are we going?" Ozzy asked.
"We need to find out if someone's following us," Rin said.
He pulled away from the curb and drove off.
"And if they are, we need to lose them."
"Fine," Ozzy said, "but if somebody is following us, don't lose them by doing a barrel roll onto a moving train."
"I can't promise anything."
Chapter 54. Cemetery Gates. Clark jumped to the back window to keep an eye on the rear, while Ozzy and Siggy scanned the area for any sign of someone nefarious.
"I don't even know what I'm looking for," Ozzy confessed.
"I do," Clark said. "And you have at least one vehicle following you."
Ozzy looked out the window and saw a large black SUV move into the lane directly behind them. Rin pressed down the gas pedal and turned right quickly.
"I don't get what's happening," Siggy yelled. "Why are they chasing us?"
"I can't say for sure,"
Rin yelled back,
"but I think Ozzy's half-uncle wants that tape at all costs. Hold on!"
The wizard took another turn and increased his speed.
"They're getting closer,"
Clark reported. The black SUV flashed its headlights and sped up.
"This isn't going to end well," Ozzy yelled. "Let's stop and reason with them. If they know that Charles is my uncle, maybe they won't hurt us."
"We're not stopping," Rin said with authority. "We're going to play this hand out. Of course, it helps that I've seen what's coming and know we'll be fine."
"Really?" Ozzy said. "That's good, right?"
"Hold on again!"
Rin turned the car once more, and the tires on the right side almost lifted off the ground. Ozzy wasn't buckled in, and he slammed up against the passenger side door. Rin straightened up the steering wheel and zoomed down a wide four-lane street.
"What have I told you about seat belts?"
the wizard chastened. The SUV tried to pass them on the right, but Rin moved in front of them. They backed off and tried passing on the left. They sped up and brought their vehicle even with Rin's. A man with short hair and out-of-style glasses was in the passenger seat of the SUV. He motioned with authority for them to pull over. Rin obeyed faster than they wanted. He turned so sharply that the little car went up on two wheels. The SUV couldn't make the turn, and it raced on to the next possible one. The car came down on all four wheels and raced along a small street that led to an old cemetery. Rin turned into the cemetery and quickly drove down one of the thin lanes between the graves. He pulled the car up to a large shade tree and turned it off. The three humans breathed loudly.
For a wizard,
You're a pretty good driver, Clark said.
Thanks. Now we'll wait here for a while and then make our move when it feels safe.
What's our move?
Siggy whispered.
I don't know yet.
The cemetery was large, with big overgrown cottonwood trees along the lanes and thousands of headstones. There were small paths for single cars to drive around, and a big mausoleum in the center of the graveyard for people to bury those souls who didn't want to actually be buried.
This is a beautiful park,
Rin said. I don't think it's a park, Dad. Rin begged to differ.
It has grass, trees, gravestones, and it's open to the public. It's like a park with interesting things to read sticking out of the lawn.
Whatever it is, it's a bad spot for us, Ozzy said. I can't believe how wrong this day is turning out.
You must be joking, Rin said. This day is just getting better and better. Do you realize that while we were eating that wonderful breakfast burrito, we had no clue what to do next? It felt like we had come all of this way for nothing. Then those gentlemen were kind enough to go through our car and chase us.
Really? Ozzy asked. That was kindness?
They handed us hope, Rin said. Now we know there's more to Charles than he let on. That tape must be important, and it must hold clues that we didn't pick up.
Or it's the formula on Side A that Charles is after, Siggy said.
I bet that's it, Clark agreed. Bad people like formulas.
Ozzy once read me a book about a crooked general who had a secret formula.
That was the biography of Colonel Sanders, and you're talking about his chicken recipe. I don't think he was evil.
He looked evil, pointy beard, crazy glasses, weird tie. Ozzy ignored his bird and carried on talking with Rin.
That formula on the tape is why my parents moved to Oregon to hide out. It's the answer, but I just don't understand it.
Right. And it's a formula for what? Rin asked. Also, why did you read a biography of Colonel Sanders?
It was mixed in with a bunch of cookbooks I found in the cloaked house. As for the formula, I bet it has something to do with the brain. All of my dad's tapes are about the brain and how powerful it is. The brain was my mom's specialty as well. Ozzy was getting excited. It probably controls the mind. All of those people who did things they normally wouldn't must have been influenced by what my parents discovered.
Uh-oh, Clark said. They found us.
The black SUV drove into the cemetery through the same gate. It drove slowly down the small paved lane two rows over. Rin and Ozzy slid down in their seats.
That seems pointless, Siggy whispered. They know what this car looks like better than they know your heads.
She was right. The men in the SUV spotted their car and drove over onto the same path. Rin quickly put the car into drive and drove down the lane towards the back exit of the cemetery.
This might not be a good idea,
Ozzy said, pointing out the front window. In the distance, a long line of cars with their headlights on and a hearse at the front was slowly driving in through the far gate. From where they were, Ozzy could see that the gate was too narrow for two vehicles to go through at once, and since everyone was coming their direction, they were trapped.
"We can't turn around!" Clark yelled. "The SUV is right behind us!"
"I guess there's only one option."
Rin pressed on the gas and sped forward at an alarming rate. It actually would have been an alarming rate on the freeway, but it was beyond alarming to be going so fast in a cemetery down a one-way lane filled with oncoming cars toward a stone wall with an opening that wasn't much wider than a single vehicle.
"Don't do this!" Ozzy yelled.
"It's already done."
The cars in the procession saw them coming and tried to move over as far to the left as they could. Rin squeezed between the vehicles and the gravestones on his right. It was a tight fit, but he was doing it. The SUV followed suit. They were considerably bigger than the white car and kept hitting gravestones on their right side.
That is so disrespectful,
Rin said as he looked at them through his rearview mirror. The procession of cars trying to come into the cemetery were honking, and Ozzy could see people in their vehicles shaking their fists and yelling at them as they passed. He looked up the lane and witnessed a long pickup truck just beginning to enter the small entrance in the stone wall.
We won't make it! Siggy yelled.
I believe you're wrong,
the wizard testified. Rin pushed the pedal all the way down, and the small car jammed through the opening, barely missing the side of the truck and scraping the stone wall. They burst out of the cemetery and onto the road. Ozzy and Clark looked behind them as the large SUV tried to do the same thing. It shot forward and attempted to squeeze between the truck and the wall. Unfortunately for them, it was too big. The massive SUV squealed and hissed as it quickly came to a stop, wedged impossibly tight in between the truck and the stone wall. Clark tweeted joyously.
They're never getting out of that,
Ozzy said. Rin pressed on the gas while handing Ozzy his cell phone.
Take my phone and look up Randall in the contacts.
Ozzy took the phone and searched through the contacts for a Randall. He was surprised how many people Rin knew.
You know a lot of people.
Wizards are in high demand.
There were three Randalls listed.
Which one?
Randall Mortley, Rin said.
I got it. Do you want to call him or something?
No, map his address. We're going to pay him a visit.
Ozzy pressed start navigation and held the phone so Rin could see it.
You didn't tell me that you still knew someone in Albuquerque.
It didn't come up,
Rin answered, driving quickly.
You think he can help?
I don't know. The last time I saw him, he was upset with me.
For what?
For being his son.
You have a father? And he lives here?
Ozzy said in disbelief.
Brian had a father. Rin? I'm not so sure.
Siggy was shocked.
I have a grandpa?
You met him years ago. I think you were two.
Clark hopped up onto Ozzy's right shoulder and whispered in his ear.
Wizards have dads?
The bird whispered. Ozzy shrugged.
I thought they were hatched,
Clark added. The car continued to move quickly through the streets of Albuquerque, making its way to the coordinates on the phone. The map on the screen showed where they were on the route. On the bottom, it read, Time till arrival, 12 minutes. Chapter 55, Trolls and Darkness. Rin's father lived in a neighborhood on the west side of Albuquerque. His house was small and the front lawn was just rocks with a few weeds growing up through them. It was an average-looking neighborhood, but the windows of all the homes had bars over them.
Why?
Ozzy asked.
I think there's a lot of crime here,
Rin replied. I believe that, Clark said. We've not been here even a full day, and already our car's been broken into, and some guys in a black SUV chased us. Rin parked the car in the driveway and turned it off. He took a deep breath, and then very slowly exhaled.
When was the last time you spoke to your dad?
Siggy asked.
It's been a few years,
Rin said.
He's one of those humans who refuses to believe in magic.
Is that why I've never heard about him? I thought Mom said your dad was dead.
Patty never liked him, so he drifted out of my life. When I went to Corfelt, I learned to accept that my father is dead to me. I'd love to see him accept who I am.
I'd love to just see my dad, Ozzy said. I don't have a father, Clark added. My father barely knows me.
Thanks, you guys,
Rin said sincerely.
Let's do this,
he said, steeling himself.
We'll go inside,
and I'll call Charles to see what he has to say for himself. If we need to, we can use my dad's computer as well.
What about me? Clark asked. Should I show off a bit? Maybe give your dad a look at how magical I am?
It might be best if you stay hidden until we get a reading on his mood.
Fine.
The four of them got out of the car, and Clark worked his way into Ozzie's hoodie pocket.
Who am I? Ozzie asked Rin as they walked to the door.
That's a question that takes a lifetime of living to answer. You're asking me to describe the sun on the first day I see it. The definition would be simple and lacking in any real perception. One must live first before being penciled into a dictionary.
No. Who am I for your dad? Are you going to give me a weird name again, or do we just tell him the truth?
Let's go with a short version of the truth.
Rin rang the doorbell and then waited on the stoop with Ozzie and Siggy. The door eventually opened to reveal Rin's father, Randall. He was a short, old man wearing overalls and a white t-shirt. He had big hands and ears, and what hair he had on his head was white and sticking up. If Rin looked like a wizard, then his father looked like a troll. He wasn't a million years old, but if one was rounding up, he was close. Randall blinked a couple of times and then glanced at the people on his porch like they were a foreign movie he didn't understand.
Brian?
He finally said.
Dad?
Rin replied coolly.
My word. What on earth are you doing here?
Randall asked. He stuck his head out the door and looked around for any other surprises.
It's just us, Rin assured him. I was in town and thought I'd stop by. Can we come in?
That's okay, I guess,
Randall said, sounding bothered.
But don't turn on any lights.
We won't. But can we pull our car into the garage? I don't want anyone stealing it.
Randall looked at the beat-up car and sighed.
Fine.
While he was inside opening the garage, Siggy asked, Why does he like it dark?
I'm not sure. He's hidden his whole life from any sort of relationship or honesty. Some people have a difficult time existing.
Once they were inside the house, there was only a tiny single lamp with a low-watt bulb turned on at the far end of the family room. All the windows had blankets over them, and no natural light was making its way in anywhere. Ozzie took a moment to wonder if this was where his life would end. A wizard had taken him to see a troll, and the troll was hiding him away in a dark cave.
I'd apologize for the dark, but it's my house and so I don't have to,
Randall said.
The light bothers me. Come into the family room and have a seat.
There were no couches or love seats, just a puffy recliner and a TV with a coffee table in front of it. The family room butted up against an equally dark kitchen, where there was a counter with two bar stools. Ozzie and Siggy grabbed the bar stools and sat on them. Rin took a seat on the edge of the coffee table. Randall the troll groaned as he settled into his recliner.
So,
he said,
I can see from your getup that you still think you're a sorcerer.
Technically a wizard, but sorcery is in my wheelhouse.
What do you call yourself again?
Labyrinth is my name, but most of the people I'm close to call me Rin.
Your mother and I gave you a proper name, and you traded it in for that?
I didn't trade it in. Things change.
Who are these two kids?
Randall asked, switching topics.
I'm Siggy, your granddaughter.
Interesting. I saw you as a baby. I'd apologize for being such a lousy grandfather, but I've never been good with family. Now I'm too old to feel bad about it. How's it been having a wizard for a father?
Okay, I guess.
Are you a witch?
Not that I know of.
And the boy, is he related?
No, this is Ozzie. I'm out here helping him locate his family.
Nice to meet you, Ozzie said.
So is that what wizards do these days?
startle their parents with surprise visits and help kids find their families?
Sometimes.
And the boy's not a wizard in training?
No, Rin answered.
Ozzy was actually a little disappointed to hear Rin say that.
You know, I never really went in for all that make-believe and fantasy stuff,
Randall sniveled.
When you first told me about being a wizard, I thought at least what you're doing might be interesting. But the last time I saw you, you were here, and you made that smoothie for that woman in that big stone house who couldn't sleep.
It was a nightshade shake.
Well, it's boring. Now you're helping families find one another? Boring again.
You sit all day in a dark house, Rin pointed out. I don't think you're one to talk.
I sit here and claim only to be an old man who is easing into the last days of his life. I never claimed to be a wizard.
Clark slipped out of Ozzy's pocket to get a better look at the arguing and to see the troll for himself.
Listen, I know this is a surprise, Rin said, and I'm aware that you don't approve of my career choice, Dad. But do you think it would be okay if we stayed the night?
I've got 4 bedrooms, and it's just me, so fine. No skin off my back. Just don't go turning on needless lights. House guests,
Randall mused.
I didn't see this coming. How's Patty?
Good, but as you know, we're not together anymore.
She was a catch. Such a smart girl. And your sister?
Randall asked.
Doing well. She's still a fact checker at the same magazine. We just saw her a couple of days ago.
At least I have one child with a normal job,
Randall jabbed.
Tell her that it wouldn't hurt her to come visit me every once in a while.
I'll pass that along.
What about, you know.
Mom? She's doing great.
Are you going to mention that you saw me?
It'll probably come up.
Good. Just leave out the part about me not liking lights. That comes off as weird for some reason.
Right, Rin agreed. Well, this is great reconnecting, but we need to make an important call.
Randall made a passive-aggressive sniffing noise.
Go ahead.
We'll just move to another room so we don't bother you.
Really? I'm 82 years old and nobody has come by the house in weeks. The last person to drop by was a kid selling pest control. I must have talked to him for an hour before he finally just turned around and ran off. Don't you think I might enjoy listening in on any phone calls you're making?
It's the kind of call you might not want over here.
What? Are they out of wands at the wand shop?
No, it's a serious situation.
Make your call right here. I want to hear what a wizard thinks is serious.
Rin looked at Ozzy and shrugged.
I guess it's all right, Ozzy said. Just call Charles and you talk.
Rin straightened his hat and then got the card from his robe pocket. He dialed the number Lynette had given him and held the phone to his ear.
Hello?
Charles said gruffly.
Yes, Charles,
Rin said into the phone.
This is serious night. I must say that our afternoon didn't go over quite as we planned. Do you mind telling me why there were men chasing us on the streets of Albuquerque? Or why they rifled through our vehicle?
I have no idea what you're talking about,
Charles replied.
I think you do. We had planned to give you the tape, but now we're not so sure we can trust you.
Let's cut to the chase, Charles said.
I'll stop pretending I didn't have someone search your car, and you stop pretending whatever it is you're pretending.
I don't know what you're talking about, Rin said, and I'm thinking about being offended by all of this.
Feel any way you please, Charles said. I just want to check out that tape. I'm sure it's nothing, but I don't like having my name out there on things I can't control.
Well, we want to bring you the tape, but your men jumped the gun.
Listen, I made a mistake.
Just tell me where you are and I'll send someone to get it.
I don't like that scenario. I believe we'll take the evening to think about it. If we feel like it, we'll drop by your office tomorrow and let you listen. If we don't, then you'll never see us again.
I know about the diapers, Charles said.
What?
Rin asked, embarrassed.
That was just for a couple of weeks after a minor surgery. Who told you?
You did. You're a diaper mogul, remember?
Oh, those diapers.
I know you're not who you say you are. And as a man who deals in secrets with the government at the highest levels, I can make your life very complicated. Why don't you tell me where you are, and I'll send someone over to pick up the tape.
Why don't you cross your fingers and toes and hope we decide to stop by tomorrow? I need to go.
Wait, Charles said angrily. Just so you know, I have far more information about Emmett and Mia. If you don't drop by, you'll never know what it is.
I'll keep that in mind, Rin said cheerfully.
The wizard hung up the phone and looked over at his father. It was dark, but for the first time in a long time, it looked as if Randall was impressed.
Now, that was all right,
Randall grumbled happily.
I never knew you had any of that in you.
Well, if you had ever stuck around long enough anywhere, you might have found that out long ago.
Fair enough, Randall said.
He prefers more than fair, Clark said, having forgotten that he was supposed to be hiding.
Who said that?
Rin looked at Ozzy, and then down at Clark, who was sitting on the bar.
Have I introduced you to Clark?
Rin asked his father. The bird flew through the air and landed near the lamp on the other end of the room. He put his back facing the bulb and chirped.
Ah, that feels much better.
You have a talking bird?
Randall asked in amazement.
Not just any bird, Ozzy said. Clark.
Clark charged up a bit and then flew over and landed in the old man's lap.
Clark, at your service?
Randall stared at the mechanical bird and then looked up at Rin.
I may have misjudged your career,
he said.
Luckily, there is no time limit on change.
Rin and Ozzy and Siggy told Randall everything, not leaving out a single car flip or breakfast burrito. By the time the sun began to go down, Rin's father had a new appreciation for his son's line of work.
Well, you should be safe here tonight,
Randall said.
But I'm not sure I'd trust that man. Maybe it would be best to not see him tomorrow. You could hang around here, and I could get to know Siggy a bit.
We can't, Rin said. We have to find out if this is a dead end. If it is, I have to get Siggy back and make a few things right in Oregon.
But first, we've got to meet up with Charles again, Ozzy argued. He knows more about my parents. What if there's a chance that they're still alive?
Rin, Siggy, Clark, and Randall were suddenly quiet. Everyone knew how impossible that sounded, but nobody wanted to point it out again. They all sat there in the dark, wondering what to say. Their dilemma was temporarily put aside when someone knocked three times on the front door. Chapter 56. Good from Bad. The dark family room made the knocking seem ominous and unsettling. Five pairs of eyes looked to the door in stunned silence.
Were you expecting anyone?
Rin whispered.
No, but I wasn't expecting you. Maybe it's your sister.
Ozzy stood up from the bar stool he was sitting on and walked across the room to the door. He looked out the peephole. It was dark outside, and there was no porch light.
Should I open it? Wait, Rin said.
He He stood up and pulled something from the inside pocket of his robe.
Go ahead.
Is that your wand? Ozzy said excitedly. You actually have one?
Of course I do. It's an authentic Gruntvole and very expensive.
Ozzy stared at it as best as he could in the dark.
It has a steel core and is surrounded by alderwood,
Rin bragged.
I got it in Corfelt. Now, open the door.
Ozzy took the doorknob and pulled.
Rescindus Melindus!
Rin yelled, waving his wand towards the open entry. The spell wasn't necessary because there was no one there. Ozzy and Siggy looked out the door while Rin put his wand away. On the ground, there was a large manila envelope. The boy bent down and picked it up. There's a letter for you here.
Bring it in,
Randall insisted. Ozzy brought it in and closed the door. Rin took out his phone and, using the light of the screen, looked at what the front of the envelope said.
Nothing,
Ozzy told him. He handed the envelope to Randall. Rin's dad took the envelope, opened the clasp, and pulled out a stack of papers about 10 sheets deep. They were bound with a silver clip at the top, and the front page had one word on it. Toffee. There was a yellow note clipped to the front of the papers written in faint pencil. The poor lighting made it almost impossible to read.
Hit the switches, boys,
Randall ordered.
It's time to shake this darkness.
Clark shot to a row of light switches and clawed them all on. The family room and kitchen lit up like magic. Looking around, it was clear to see why Randall liked the lights off. His home was in serious need of dusting.
Here,
Randall said, handing the papers to Ozzy.
That's not my name on the front. You read it.
Ozzy took the papers and sat down on the coffee table. He looked at the yellow note and read it aloud as Siggy and Rin looked over his shoulder.
I know who you are. Your eyes gave it all away. I have lived with the shame and horror of what I was a part of for too many years. I won't pretend that this makes up for any of the pain you've suffered, but I believe there are answers here you deserve to know. Charles had me track your phone to find this location. I have not told him where you are. With this delivery, I now plan to never return to what I have been doing at Harkin Corporation. I wish you safety and peace. Your parents were the kind of people this world needed. They would have been amazed with you. So sorry. Eric.
Who's Eric?
Rin asked. He was the man who interrupted that meeting with Charles, Siggy answered. Ozzy stared at the note. Then he slowly set it down and looked at Rin.
I told you this could become painful,
the wizard said with compassion.
It's not too late. You can try to return to the cloaked house and spend your days hidden and safe, while living off the memories and hope of whatever you wish. Or you can read what's there, and most likely see things that will provide answers, but also conjure up dark things that you have waited through your whole life.
Ozzy took a moment to breathe. Clark flitted up and parked himself on top of Ozzy's head.
Wow,
Randall said.
This is some heavy stuff you wizards do.
Ozzy picked up the papers, folded back the first page, and began to read. Chapter 57. You Are What You Read. By the time Ozzy had finished reading the pages aloud, a few prominent points stood out. Emmett and Mia were brilliant and perhaps a bit mad. They had discovered a formula that could help people have better control over their own free will. The formula had the potential to cure apathy and misunderstanding. They wanted to build a perfect world where everyone was able to think their way into prosperity and happiness. They had tested the solution on the unsuspecting patrons of their dinner parties. After a few initial snags, all signs indicated that the formula worked perfectly. Then, on one of the final tests, Timsby had not done what he was supposed to do, and instead jumped into a polar bear cage and almost died. They stopped all testing completely, but Emmett's half-brother Charles had caught on. He had seen the endless potential for the formula to control others for his benefit. Like his own father, he longed to be in control and make decisions that weaker people couldn't make themselves. He wanted his half-brother to team up with him and, in a sense, rule the world. But Emmett wanted no part of that. The two half-brothers fought, and Charles tried to kill Emmett. Finding no other option, Emmett and Mia moved out in the dead of night. They took their child, their belongings, and hid themselves away in the cloaked house where nobody could find them. The second to the last page had information on how Charles had found them. He had tracked down the bill of sale that Emmett had signed for the cabin and land. It had been difficult to find, but with a little bribing and the right access to files he shouldn't have had access to, he deciphered the mystery. In anger and greed, he took Emmett and Mia and brought them to a bunker in New Mexico, leaving Ozzy for dead. He tried to force the two doctors to recreate their formula, but they refused. Charles didn't know how to handle defeat, and in a fit of rage, he ended their lives. The 10 pages contained a lot of words, but it was the line about Charles ending his parents' lives that stood out most to Ozzy. It read like a punch to his gut, a kick to his head, and a red-hot poker to his heart. The answer he had wanted for so many years had been given, and there is no giving that knowledge back.
"I am so sorry, Oz," Rin said.
"Me too,"
Siggy echoed. Clark scratched at his head affectionately.
"It's okay," Ozzy said, composing himself. "I've always wanted them to still be alive, but I've always known that was impossible. They would have tried everything to get back to me, but it never happened. It just isn't fair that the only family I've found happens to be the very person that has made my life so difficult and painful. Charles came to the cloaked house, stole my parents, and left me for dead. I was 7, and he was my uncle. How could someone do something like that?"
"Power," Rin said. "What your parents created could make a person very wealthy and very powerful."
"Who cares?" Ozzy snapped. "What is power anyway? How could humans care so much for something that ultimately destroys everything? He ruined my family and murdered my parents. And because of that, I'm alone in the world."
"Wait a second," Clark said defensively.
"What am I?" "Sorry, I know I have you."
"You have more than just Clark," Rin said. "But it must feel very empty finally putting the pieces together, only to discover that the picture is grim. This is the worst kind of truth to discover."
"At least I know now."
"But what do we do?" Ozzy asked passionately. "I mean, are these papers enough proof? Can we use them to get Charles prosecuted? He killed my parents."
"No," Randall chimed in. "They're just papers. Now, if we had the testimony of this Eric fellow who dropped them off, you might have a chance." "I know this is freshly festering within you," Rin said, trying to make his voice sound extra comforting. "But I don't think you should worry about revenge. Charles wants that tape.
and I have a feeling he won't stop until he gets it.
Then don't you think that now might be a good time to cast a spell?
Ozzy said angrily.
Can't you just put an end to this by making his legs fall off or his head explode? What about your ad in the ORVG? Can you at least make him fall asleep? I hired you to make this better. You said 2 days and you'd have things in order. Well, things don't feel like they're in order.
Things are just what they need to be. And remember, need is rarely comfortable.
What does that even mean?
Ozzy asked, trying not to sound like a complete jerk in front of Siggy.
Should I not need anything anymore? Should I just destroy the tape? Will that make everything better? Will it bring my parents back? Will it punish Charles? I don't think so.
You're right, Rin agreed. But that tape gives us leverage, and we should use it to our advantage.
Really? Ozzy said hopefully. What kind of leverage?
First, we need to find a safe place to hide it. We'll let Charles stew tonight, and in the morning, we'll call him and set up a meeting on our terms. Now that we know everything we do, he has no advantage. So, we'll bring him a tape that will be secretly recording him. It's not beyond my powers to trick him into confessing what he did.
You are pretty good at making people talk, Clark agreed.
I was on the debate team in high school.
You were?
Randall asked. The old wizard looked at his much older dad and sighed.
Sorry, Brian. I mean, Ren.
It's fine. I got over that years ago.
If it makes you feel any better, Grandpa, I didn't know he had been on debate either.
Thanks, Siggy. It does.
Despite all of the dysfunction, Ozzy was a little jealous of the family relationship that Rin and his dad and Siggy sort of had.
For now, let's...
Shh!
Ozzy said, cutting the wizard off.
Do you hear something?
Randall looked around nervously.
It sounds like someone's walking around in your backyard,
Ozzy whispered. Rin turned the lights off, and Clark moved to the safety of Ozzy's hair. Everyone held their breath for a moment, trying to hear. The sound of rocks quietly crunching as something moved around the back and the front of the house drifted through the room.
Maybe it's Eric,
Ozzy said in a hushed tone. Clark flew to one of the blanket-covered windows and found a small hole in the corner near the top. He gripped onto the blanket with his talons and pressed his left eye up to the hole to look out into the dark night. He flew back quickly and sat on Ozzy's left shoulder.
I don't know how to say this, but there are dozens of men in green closing in on the house. That's bad, right?
Horrible,
Ozzy said.
Get out of here,
Randall said kindly.
Go before they catch you. Get in your car and get out of here.
What about you?
Rin asked.
I'm old and couldn't care less. Maybe I'll die tonight, maybe I won't. Either way, I'm okay with that. Now go.
Everyone looked at Rin.
What do you say?
Ozzy asked while trying to breathe quietly.
Should we take one more car ride?
I think we should. I'll be back, Dad. Go be the wizard you were born to be,
Rin's troll-looking father said. It wasn't the most touching moment, but at least they weren't arguing.
Oh, and son,
Randall added,
if this is what it's like to be a wizard, then I have severely misjudged your path in life.
Rin smiled, looking more like a little boy than an old wizard.
Come on, you guys,
he said, leading the way out to the garage. The three of them and their bird got into the car and buckled up.
So how's this going down?
Ozzy asked.
Well, Corfelt taught me many things. I learned my first spells there.
It was also the place I found my wand. But of all the lessons I learned, I think the one that sticks with me most is the advice a wizard named Umphus gave me. Sometimes there is need for thought. Other times, a wizard is most powerful with action.
Rin turned on the car, threw it into reverse, and stomped on the gas. The car smashed through the closed garage door, sending it flying out and onto the ground. The little car rolled over the garage door and down the driveway as dark green figures dove out of the way. Once on the street, Rin slammed on the brakes and put the car into drive.
Hold on! This could get crazy!
Like it already isn't?
Ozzy asked.
I guess you're right. Oh, and Siggy, don't tell your mom.
Chapter 58. Struck with Wonder. The three eccentrics and Siggy drove out of the neighborhood and onto the freeway without any sign of anyone chasing after them. Clark was in the back window keeping a lookout with Siggy by his side. A light rain began to spit on the windshield.
Why aren't they coming after us? Ozzy asked. It makes no sense.
We surprised them, Rin said. They had to scramble just to get into their cars.
Here they come, Clark cheeped. And there's way more than one this time.
Ozzy looked out the back window and saw five black SUVs racing up from behind. The freeway was wide and filled with other vehicles, but the SUVs were flashing their lights and forcing everyone to pull over and let them through. Rin had the small white car going as fast as possible. He wove between other drivers and shot east on the I-40 freeway towards the mountains.
Where are you going? Ozzy yelled.
I'm not sure, but a wizard would rather be confused in the mountains than concerned in the city.
We're going to be confused either way!
Ozzy shouted.
Do you think that formula my parents invented really worked?
It must have, Rin hollered. It was enough to cause your parents to give up everything and hide in Oregon. It was also enough to cause your uncle to do the things he's done and is doing.
The SUVs were getting closer. They took up all four lanes and made it look like a giant wall of black was rolling towards them. The freeway began to head into the mountains as the rain picked up.
There's too many of them, Siggy said. I like not being bored, but I'm not crazy about this either.
And we can't lose all of them, Ozzy pointed out needlessly.
This isn't going to end well, is it?
So now you can see the future? Rin asked.
Stop witnessing things that aren't even there. Too many of you humans are scared by ghosts that haven't yet formed. The future is as much ours as it is Charles's. More so, actually, because you're in the company of a wizard.
Rin passed a small red truck and a yellow van.
One of the SUVs is getting closer, Clark tweeted.
Rin looked into his side mirror and saw a single black vehicle break away from the pack and close in on them. It pulled alongside their car. The windows of the SUV were darker than the night they were driving through.
What are they doing?
Ozzy yelled. The passenger window rolled down to reveal a large man with a tight haircut and mean eyes. He motioned violently with his hand for Rin to pull over.
I have an idea, Clark said. Roll down the back window just a bit. Why?
Ozzy asked.
Just do it!
Ozzy found the button on his door and rolled the back window down 2 inches.
Get ready for a beakdown!
Instantly, Clark shot through the window and into the open window of the SUV. The bird bounced around inside the vehicle like a possessed pinball. He knocked the driver's glasses askew and broke a tooth of the large goon with the mean eyes. Ozzy and Siggy couldn't see everything, but they saw that the SUV was having a hard time trying to maintain control.
As the driver batted at the mechanical assailant, he pulled at the steering wheel and the SUV twisted so sharply and at such a fast rate of speed that it flipped onto its side and went skidding across the freeway. Rin kept his eyes on the road and his pedal to the floor. Out of the rear window, Ozzy and Siggy watched as the other SUVs slammed into the sliding one and a giant multi-car pileup began to form, SUV after SUV running into each other. They plowed into the sides of the freeway, creating a dam of cars that blocked all four lanes and the shoulder. Only one of the SUVs had managed to miss the mess that Clark had brought down. That vehicle didn't stop to check on all of its fellow thugs. Instead, it picked up the pace and continued to give chase.
"Wow!" Ozzy said. "Clark knocked out almost all of them with one blow! There's still one coming, though!"
"I can see that,"
Rin said, looking up at the rearview mirror.
"What about Clark?"
Siggy hollered.
"We can't just leave him!"
"The bird's resilient, and we can't stop now,"
the wizard insisted. "I would have stopped for you," Clark said. The bird had darted back into the window and landed on the top of Rin's headrest.
"You would have needed to come back for me,"
Rin yelled.
"I'm nowhere near as capable as you."
"So you saw what I did?" the bird asked. "Yes, and it was highly impressive."
Siggy stroked the small, wiry feathers on top of Clark's head while looking out the back window.
"There's only one car left."
"It better hope it doesn't pull up next to us,"
Clark said, sounding tough. The single SUV drew in closer.
"We can't outrun that thing."
"I'm not planning to. Here comes our exit."
Rin swerved right and took the Cedar Crest exit off the freeway. The SUV's tires screeched and whined as they followed suit. Rin drove down the off-ramp and right through the light at the end of the exit.
"Do you have any idea what you're doing?"
"Maybe,"
Rin said confidently. The wizard followed a turn in the road that carted them north behind the Sandia Mountains and into heavier rain. The SUV followed. They were on a small highway driving towards the crest of the Sandia Mountains. Their vehicle passed a few stores, an old burnt building, and a couple of other cars, but otherwise it felt like a private racetrack that they and the SUV were racing on by themselves. The black car tried a couple of times to come up alongside, but Rin's maneuvering of the poor little car kept them at bay.
"I don't know what to think!"
Ozzy yelled.
"About what?"
Rin replied.
"Sometimes it seems like you have all of this chaos planned out."
"Unfortunately, that means that sometimes I don't."
Rin turned sharply onto a road. Through the windshield wipers, they saw a sign that read, "Sandia Peak." It was dark, and they were surrounded by trees as they headed into the forest and up the mountain.
"I feel better already," Rin said. "Trees make a wizard complete. Did you know that there isn't a single part of the Corfelt landscape that doesn't have a tree within view?"
"What? Do you know we're being chased up a mountainside by maniacs in the rain?"
"Seriously, Dad, where are you going?" Rin swerved to pass a single slow-moving car.
"We can't just drive and hope they run out of gas,"
Ozzy said,
"or hope that we flip onto a train, or that a bird makes it all better."
"Why not?"
Rin asked.
"Yeah,"
Clark said, feeling personally slighted.
"Why can't a bird make it all better?" "I'm not saying you can't,"
Ozzy said, frustrated.
"You already have, but at some point we are going to have to realize that we are out of options and should just...
"Give up?" Clark asked.
"No!"
Rin shouted kindly.
"I think the word Ozzy is looking for is hide."
"Oh," the bird said, disappointed that his guess had been wrong.
"Listen, Ozzy, what happened to you as a child was horrific. But the time to run away is over. You were a child, and you took that fear and used it to exist in the most amazing way. You're better today because of it. I'm not looking to drive into these trees and hide until the problem goes away. I'm looking to solve all of this right now.
It began to really rain. In the distance, light.